we'd like a word.
About designing book covers with the excellent Mark Ecob, book cover designer extraordinaire, and your usual hosts, me, Paul Waters.
And me, Stephen Colgan.
Book covers. We've been wanting to do this for ages. And full disclosure, we both have a link to Mark. He has designed book covers for both of us.
He has.
And we still like him. And he still tolerates us.
It's because he did good covers. I suppose the first question is this a specialism for you? Or is this just one in a range of other things you do as a designer?
It's a good question. I suppose it is a specialism. When I left university, I sort of fell into it. I was interviewed for a typography position. I was interviewed to design games for PlayStation Europe, would you believe? And a publishing job, bump a year. And I got the publishing one with a plan to leave and work for Saatchi, of course, 6 months later. But found that I loved it, mainly because you get just such creative control. And I'm a big fan of books. I'm a huge reader. And to be able to sort of marry those two things was just a gift. So here I am. Yes, accidental specialism in answer to your question. There are offshoots. I brand people. I do, you know, launch assets and I do different things. I teach, but it all stems from book cover work.
It's interesting because when I was thinking about the fact we were going to be meeting you for this podcast, I was trying to think of any other people who, you know, you specifically think of as a book cover artist. And unless you go back to like the 1970s, when you had people like Chris Foss doing those gigantic colourful slab-like spaceships for just about every sci-fi novel, or Frank paintings, you know, of the barbarians, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Other than people like that in the 70s, I couldn't really think of anyone who became famous or is best known for being specifically a book cover artist. It seems to be something that's not quite as common these days.
We need to make a distinction between book cover design and illustration there. I've just finished a couple of books for a guy called Ian Livingston, and the craft of illustrating a certain genre, sci-fi, fantasy, that's still very much a I can be famous thing. But book cover designers, yeah, some of us get famous, but within a sphere, you know, within our own community. There are some that break out, you know, the likes of Chip Kidd in the US. They sort of get famous for doing more broad, popular stuff. Like his name is forever associated with Jurassic Park, for example. But certainly over the last 10 years, with the advent of something like the Academy of British Cover Design, it turned out to be a massive success, a chance for us to collaborate.
I'm glad you made the distinction there between illustration and design.
Sure.
I got it muddled in my head a second, because when I think back, I can remember artists moaning about the fact the designer had done a terrible job with their artwork, cropping it weirdly and things like this. I'm thinking back to my own book covers. I mean, the one that particularly stands out for me was you did the cover of one of my books called Kinetoscope, but you got Tom Gold, just absolutely perfect. And the whole layout of the book, everything looked great as a result.
Yeah, absolute gift, Tom Gould. I worked with him a few times. There's a new Kane's Jawbone coming up for Unbound. Real gent, really talented. Guardian, a new scientist, and a real joy. I'm really glad we got him for your book, actually. I didn't think we would, but we did, and I was really proud of that one.
Yeah, so was I. It was a real thrill. And I went along to meet him at by coincidence, I was in London when he was doing a signing of one of his own books.
Yeah.
So I emailed him and said, look, I'm going to be in London. Any chance of meeting up? I'd like to get a copy of your book anyway. And he turned up with the original artwork for Kinetoscope and gave it to me.
Amazing.
The guy is amazing. He's just such a nice guy. Such a nice bloke. Yeah.
Mark, how many have you done? How many books?
Oh, goodness. thousands. Like 20, what's it been? 2001. So 20 years doing this. I have anything up to like 70, 80 projects on at the same time. And they finish at various times for various clients in various forms. I once tried to figure out how many cover meetings I'd run, and it ran into the thousands. So as for how many books, wow, I'd have to work it out. But then I'd have to work out an average. There's no way of actually knowing.
Okay, what are the rules for making a good cover? What are the basic things you keep in mind?
I think it's got to be a balance between the creative and the practical. Over the last sort of 10, 15 years, I set up on my own, had a family. So it means I've had, and with COVID working at home, I've had to be very focused with my work. So I look for everything, really. So I look for a concept. I look for a good title. I look for how that relates to the kind of imagery that I might want to use. I look for an excellent brief and interrogate that. I look for basics like time frame, fee, licensing, all this kind of stuff. And each brief that comes along, I really do sort of test and get back to the client. I was having a bit of an argument with a client today regarding their brief, which was full of holes. So you have to picture as an art director as well as a designer. So it's not just having the fun with the creative bit and creating the imagery. It has to be done on time. It has to be used the right raw materials, you know. So it's as much on the page as off, I would say. As for rules,
on the page rules, let's say, if you're looking at what do you see on the cover,
I would say that there's a certain sensitivity that you apply as a designer to cover work, and a synergy of voice. So if I've got a title that's wrong for the book, or it isn't well thought out in terms of space, or if there's a shout line that needs to be there, or the jars, or, you know, the author's name, their pseudonym might just be a little fluffy for a thriller, for example, all of these things come together to create a piece of communication. So I think it's more instinctive to me than following three or four sets of rules. You know, of course you have to consider things like clarity, appropriateness to genre, showing the inside of the book with consideration and faith, and in the most right way you can. You know, I think probably my main message here to authors listening here would be to commission a professional, because we know what we're doing, and, you know, to be able to follow tips and, you know, a blog or a guidebook on cover design, I think those are kind of redundant, if I'm honest. It's a feeling, is you just know.
You said that sometimes an author's name might be wrong for a cover. It had never occurred to me that you might think, I don't want to design that cover with a name like that.
I don't quite understand
the thinking there. I presume that if you're given, here's the book title, here's the author's name, well, that's just a given and you have to work with that. It hadn't occurred to me that I might be rejected by the cover designer because of my name.
No, I'm not suggesting change everybody's name, but and it's only happened once to me, but I had a commission fairly recently, actually, where I was asked to do a very, very teethy thriller cover. And the author's name, a pseudonym, a chosen name for marketing, was really kind of fluffy. And it was a serious discussion with the client, just something that I raised. And they went, yeah, we're kind of stuck with it. Sorry. I worked with one recently who was choosing a name, and they asked me about it. So what do you think I should be known by? And I'm a designer, but here's my opinion. Everything on a cover contributes to its communication, its tone of voice. So I only raised it because it was just jarring against the feeling that the brief that they asked me to do. Yeah, every word you put on the cover, every typeface choice, it all combines to make a tone of voice. It's not just here are the pieces of text that you can't change and an image to go with it, be that illustration or photography. It all boils together to say something in a certain way, and it all contributes. So as a designer, I actually have to be conscious of the way the words speak with the pictures. And I will absolutely give an opinion on that.
As an author, I've always tried to take a back seat, because I'm not an expert at designing book covers. I want the expert to produce the best possible cover they can to sell my book, to sell my words. But, you know, you do notice that if a particular book is hugely successful, you then find a whole bunch of covers out there. They're almost not quite clones, but a similar kind of style. And I wonder how much pressure you get from the publishers to say, oh, well, this one's really popular, do it in the style of such and such.
Are you asking what's collaboration like, or what's genre work like?
Well, let's ask both. Let's start with collaboration first.
Okay. So how collaborative is what is cover design? I would say very. It obviously depends on people involved, what they're like. I always try and leave an ego at the door, whoever you are, and respect someone's profession. I mean, I do it. I'm lucky enough to work on some stuff that expands me as a person as well as a designer, and a really fixed idea of what I want to do, but I will always remain open to being pushed in different ways. And that's happened a couple of times recently to really rewarding results, which has been ace. So collaboration needs to be open, it needs to be creative, it needs to be respectful, always for the cover in mind. It's really not about this getting an award if you're a designer, or, you know, notoriety of working with somebody if you're an author, or it's just kind of giving everybody space. So there's a really pivotal example in my portfolio. When I started out on my own, I was very nervous. Previously my portfolio was all publishing house related, so it's all, the books are there, you don't have to earn the right to design them. So I was out on my own, and I won the chance to repackage Alexander McCall Smith's number one ladies detective agency. It was against a few other designers in like a blind kind of pitch process over months. And I won the process, and it was biggest job of my career. And I met the guy. It was just absolute heaven. But when I started out, I was trying too hard. I ended up doing solutions for it, but one of them was highly illustrative and really overcooked. It was really, really detailed. And because I was trying too hard to prove myself at that stage in my career and to please the author, I really overcooked the visuals, and they were illustrative. So that series is all about, I mean, the messaging was warmth, animals, Africa, you know, without doing any othering or kind of any sensitive stuff with how they look. You know, there was no visualizing people in the movie. And in my first visuals, I was turning into an illustrator, which I'm not trained to do, but I do here and there in a very simple fashion. And I read the book and I was poring over it, and I produced this really, I still think, kind of an amazing cover. Beautiful scene of mother and baby elephant walking along a river, right? And it was highly executed. I'd spent probably a week doing this one piece of work, which is quite rare. And the author and the creator, no. I said, why? It's beautiful. This was a big discussion. It was unusual to work with an author so visually aware and a creative director so good with seeing where you can develop to. And he said, you're overcooking it. Don't read the book. I know we usually do, but chill out. It's really about a simplicity. Work off the title. So I shed the kind of nervousness and I went back to the drawing board, literally ripped up the work that I'd done for that fresh start. And then I just did very, very simple digitally rendered images of these animals with different titles in situ. And it went down a storm. So there were really simple gags working off the title, bit of texture. It was kind of based on street graphics from Botswana. So it was a really nice way of someone chilling me out and going, hold on, Mark, you don't need a heavy touch here. And that was, to your earlier point, Stephen, about collaboration. That was just a magic circle. And we did 15 books over like 8-9 years. And the guy thanked me on stage once. It was brilliant.
So what happens if you get an author who has a very fixed idea of what they think their book should look like, and you produce what you believe to be absolutely the right cover for it? Do you have to make some concessions, or is it a case of sorry, you got to suck it and see? You know, it's a tricky one.
It is a tricky one, and everyone's different, but you have to compromise. And I've learned lots of different ways of kind of showing people why my idea is good, or learning to listen when they're sticking to their guns too. Each one is a very, very specific set of compromises. There are times when an author is so very staunch in their vision that wins through, regardless of the contractual position. I mean, I do a lot of work for Unbound where it's unusually collaborative, actually. We really listen. You've got direct experience of that, Stephen. I hope.
Yeah.
I spend more time kind of discussing and showing visuals to show why something might or not work for either party, be it me or the client or the author or even the salesperson. It's, you can go through hundreds of iterations to get to a point where everyone's in a synergist place, or I can do one. I mean, I'll come up with an idea in the middle of the night, execute it the next morning, send it off, and it's done sometimes, which is, you know, the sort of white whale. You just have to deal with it nicely. Yes, people fall out. Yes, sometimes things just don't work out. That's okay. But in the aggregate, you know, I don't want to swear, being difficult about this stuff, because the author put their life into these projects. And I'm the designer. I still want to have my ownership of, you know, giving this very noble piece of writing a face and enjoying myself. So why be difficult with each other?
That seems like a good point to end part one of this episode of We'd Like a Word with Mark E. Cobb, champion book cover designer extraordinaire. I'm giving you two superlatives there. And you're listening to We'd Like a Word with me, Paul Waters.
And me, Stephen Colton.
And we'll see you in part two.